Well, Stephen, I am so happy to be with you. You've been very important in my own spiritual growth, and I've used your meditation tapes for years, and so to be making a tape with you today is very exciting to me. One of the things that I noticed over the years in being in a 12-step community was that, first of all, the 12 steps, as we've had a spiritual awakening, and that the 11th step talks about we sought through prayer and meditation to increase our conscious contact with God as we understand God. And yet I sat in meetings for 25 years and really not been aware of anyone knowing a very precise way to meditate. And so I've thought that it would be a wonderful idea to try to create a meditation tape that would be useful for people in 12-step programs.
Well, John, I'm real happy to be here with you today as well. When I first heard you leading a guided meditation, I was struck not only by the power of your words, but with the lyrical power of your voice. I started hearing in my head musical orchestrations to accompany your instrument, and I knew we were supposed to record together. But this tape is much more than that. It's an extension and expansion of both our work into the common ground of meditation and prayer that links the recovery movement and the New Age movement. You know, what we're really talking about when we use the word meditation is a technique with which we can access a deeply relaxed psycho-spiritual state of peace, harmony, and attunement. And although there are many forms of meditation, most of them share an essential truth. The body is predisposed to being in that state. So meditation is really much simpler and less mysterious than most people might think. Indeed, what ancient philosophers, mystics, and modern-day scientists have been telling us is that what I call our human instrument, our body, mind, and spirit, is genetically pre-programmed to resonate around the harmonics of 8 cycles per second. This just happens to lie in the deep alpha brainwave range and just happens to be in the same fundamental frequency as the Earth itself. That's why deep relaxation and meditation is so powerful. When we go inside and are in this state of resonance and attunement, we are more able to tune in and receive the energies of the universe and of our own higher power.
Yeah, now that's beautiful the way you said that, because addicts are so oriented toward the outside. The belief system of an addict is, I'm not okay unless I have alcohol, unless I have sex, unless I have this relationship, this romance. I'm not okay unless I have money or things or whatever. So that there's no inner way to generate happiness. And that's what we've been calling codependency, or what I call toxic shame, which is like having no relationship with yourself on the inside. It always amazed me to sit in taverns in my own alcoholism and hear that kind of whining in myself and in other addicts of really, I thirst, I need, I want, I thirst. And there's that empty, lonely, shame-based child in there that is calling out. But because we've been toxically shamed, we have no relationship with ourselves and can't go inward. And that's the spiritual bankruptcy.
And you know, it's obviously not coincidence that an essential part of virtually every major religion has been a technology for going inward. They've all included a variation of the axiom, be still and know. And at this time in history, with so much distress and so much dis-ease, where people need to be more in balance and comfortable, it's interesting that one of the stock phrases of our times is just say no might really be a misreading of the ancient axiom, be still and know, because the answer really lies inside.
Yes, that's beautiful. And so that's the idea of helping people to know how to create that inner silence. And I guess the thing that's amazed me, and you know a lot about this, I know in reading your Sound Health book and listening to you in other contexts, is that there's a great deal of evidence from the behavioral sciences that support, that we have this higher kind of life, this higher kind of possibility, and that when we're in touch possibility, and that when we're in touch with this larger consciousness, we have available to us a kind of an intuitive ability to know immediately both ourselves and our higher power, whatever that may be to someone. Be still and know that I am. And some people say, be still and I am, know that I am God. But whatever we call God, God as you understand God, and that's one of the beautiful things of the 12-step traditions, that it's allowing people to have that that their own personal discovery of whatever they consider their higher power to be. So it's beautiful that by creating the silence, and I think that's why that 11th step is there. We saw through prayer and meditation to increase our conscious contact, that only in the silence can you have that kind of intuitive connection.
And yet, where in our present world can we really experience silence? Silence is no longer just a virtue, but it's a necessity. And yet, noise pollution is a social disease. For the last several centuries, the environmental din has gotten louder and louder every year, which makes it harder and harder to experience that silence for ourselves. Nowadays, it really is a challenge. You really have to work at it to create the silence for yourself. And that's precisely why we need deep relaxation and meditation techniques. Two of the easiest and most effective methods are through an awareness of breath and using specially composed music.
Yes, I've been amazed at the experiments we've done together when you've gotten on the stage and shown how certain pieces of music can weaken people and certain other frequencies of music can strengthen people. And one day when you were doing that, I started thinking of barroom scenes and the hassle of troubled relationships, addictive relationships, and people that have grown up in sexual abuse and violence, who've become sex addicts and addicted to violence. And wow, you know how important it is to be able to get to this inner place. And it's what I feel is very important in the great recovery movement that's going on now, is to give people all the aids that are possible to get to that inner place. Certainly am not implying we want to try to tell somebody that the way they meditate or do the 11th step is not okay. But I sort of say it like this. In the beginning, I needed some guides. I needed a sponsor. And that my sponsor really didn't know about meditation. He couldn't have taken me there. So it's valuable for me. It was valuable for me to go to you and to others to find some ways to learn how to meditate.
Well, it's always been a major point of fascination for me that some of the most important aspects of being, human being, and a process that is so fundamental to our well-being is something that we get virtually no instruction in school, in our work, or most any part of our education. But if we take the time to ask the body in the language of the body, and really listen, our bodies would tell us that they choose the harmonious patterns that are created in deep relaxation and meditation, rather than the random arrhythmic and dissonant patterns that we have in noisy environments or just everyday activity. Again, the bodies have their own built-in tuning. This is something that comes with the programming. When you give the body a choice, it chooses harmony and balance. Interestingly, in this state, the physical organs and the circulatory systems and the energy centers of the body are literally in tune, all working together in phase with each other. It's as if they are suddenly all playing to the beat of the same conductor. That really gives another meaning to the phrase organ recital, doesn't it?
Yes, I just think that's fascinating. And you know, thinking about sitting in stinking taverns. I remember playing Make the World Pass Away one day at the Chesterfield Lounge, you know, and sitting there for probably 7 hours. And imagine what that does to your spirit or your soul. The other thing that I've been very interested in, and we will do this in this meditation, is is breathing, helping people to focus on breathing, how growing up in dysfunctional families, we have been, it is so threatening to have an alcoholic dad or a violent dad or an incesting mom or dad, or and that a child lives in constant distress, which means that the breathing becomes very shallow. And this becomes an unconscious process, that the person no longer is aware that they don't breathe deeply, that they're not taking in full range of oxygen. And so the meditation is a time to pause and to really focus and become conscious of breathing and to learn to slow down.
One of the reasons it's so hard to slow down relates to the phenomenon of rhythm entrainment. This means that the natural rhythm of our body will be overridden in the presence of an external rhythmic stimuli, which could be anything from music you listen to, your refrigerator, a passing freight train, whatever. Automatically, our body will be synchronized, it will lock in step and in phase and literally be entrained to the beat of a different drummer. You can verify this for yourself by feeling your heartbeat or pulse. So when I clap my hands, if I speed it up, your heartbeat will be speeding up. And if I slow it down, your heart will be slowing down. And this can happen virtually instantaneously. Now, most of the music that we hear is obviously not designed to help us connect with our higher power. Indeed, many of the predominant rhythms that we hear in popular music today are opposite to the natural beat of the heart. And that relates to why the rhythm is so weakening and stressful, because it confuses the body and literally is working against the natural tendencies of the body. And it's not enough to say that any classical music will suffice to assist the body in healing itself and setting its own deep relaxation state, because most classical music was not designed and composed with that intent. And you know, that's really what got me involved in this whole line of research and line of composition. As a good type A person living in New York, I needed something to help me relax. I needed something that was legal, non-addictive, had no harmful side effects, and was something that I could do for myself when I needed it at home. I tried listening to a wide variety of music, and they just didn't work. And yet, as I would read in the Bible, David soothing Saul with music, we read back in some of the historical records that music was used in ancient China and Tibet, in Egypt, we knew there's a long history of using music as a viable means for helping people to relax, to soothe the spirit.
In response to what you're saying there, it amazed me listening to Goleman at Harvard one time talking about studying every meditation technique he could find and then coming back and just teaching the graduate students to focus on breathing, just to be mindful of breathing, and how within a couple of months their overreactions had lessened, how much more peaceful and less nervous they were. And that really touched me as an addict, a recovering addict. Because we tend to be codependent, shame-based people, tend to be so reactive. And then the other thing that has been so important to me about meditation is the giving up control. We have phrases in the program I was in called let go and let God, turn it over, self will run riot, so we have to turn it over. That whole idea of trying to control everything. And in this meditation, I'm going to be really encouraging people to just listen, this passive volition, just be there and let it come to you, enlightenment, insight, let it come to you rather than trying to control it. And man, people who are codependent, adult children, really need to learn how to do this.
That's such a good point. And of course, that's one of the classic differences between prayer and meditation. In prayer, we're asking for something. In meditation, we're listening.
Yes. Yes, and I'll put a, you know, in the other side, what you will listen to, we will have a part where you can pray or meditate. When you get to that place of connection, you can either ask or you can sit there and receive. It's been, meditation has been more important for me in the later stages of my recovery. Having my higher power and praying was enormously important the first 5 years. But what I found after about 10 years is that I needed to really work at the meditating and to create this quiet inner place for me. A lot of what's happened to me in the last 10 years has come out of really meditating and creating this quiet place within myself. Very much what you were describing earlier. In hindsight, you know, I realize now if I had known some ways to meditate, and it's one of the motivations for doing this tape, that I could have started meditating a lot earlier on. And it's not really prayer against meditation. It's both and. But the meditation work would have helped me very early on, because it is so clear to me now that addictions are about spiritual vacuum, spiritual bankruptcy, inner emptiness, having no inner life. That's the importance of getting into this spiritual work. You know, one of the things that happens, of course, when we're toxically shamed is that we create a false self, which has been called the ego. And that's that idea of self-will run riot, that addicts try to control and they're egocentric. And of course, we are. My analogy to it is that if you have a chronic toothache, all you think about is your tooth. When you're empty inside and spiritually bankrupt, all you think about is you. And so that idea of letting go of the ego and turning it over and letting go and letting God, that's slogans that are used throughout the 12-step programs. Those connect with these great spiritual traditions of non-attachment and flowing with the river, those kinds of things.
There's another thing you say about the fruits of the recovery.
I think that as a person goes to meetings and listens and shares, that the fruit is to open you up to a larger consciousness. And I guess one of the things that's amazed me about meditation and the research that's been done on it. I know you've been connected with some of the Stanford research people and higher, you know, the kind of powers that we know the mind has. But when people think of higher power and 12-step groups, that we really know that when you're in that state of serenity and quiet, you're connected to all other consciousness, and that there is a higher power available. And we know that because mind and matter are both energy, that higher consciousness is purposeful and can get you the things you need, that those resources will be there. And people witness to this all the time. In 12-step program, I turned it over and it came to me. I let go and let God, and everything was okay. And of course, again, this is amazing because the spiritual masters have been teaching this, and your research has been showing why this happens.
John, in your books and workshops, you have such an eloquent way of expressing the ultimate goal of recovery. I think it would really be a nice way of tying this all together if you just share a few of those thoughts with us now.
Yeah, I guess the thing that has been real important to me, too, is to understand that people can get stuck at stages in their recovery, and they may get stuck just going to meetings and not moving on, or stuck only going over their abuse issues, or stuck in their feeling work. And that the real goal, the real fruits of the work, is to move on to empowerment, to your own bliss. What Joseph Campbell says, choosing your own life, doing what you want with your very own life. That's the goal of the work, is to have this inner place where you know yourself, you know who you are, you're choosing your own life, and you're moving toward empowerment. So what we're going to do now is offer you two meditations, one of about 15-minute duration, which would be a daily meditation that a person could use, hopefully, regularly. The other is a short 5-minute meditation, and I've geared this to something that would have really helped me and helps me now, but it would have helped me so much in the beginning, just to have a short 5-minute meditation that I could use during the day, where I could remind myself that to just live one day at a time. So there's two meditations that you're going to hear on the other side, a long one and a short one. Let's do it.